A police raid nets a huge haul of guns, drugs and stolen cars, Bali's plastics problem and the Perth band representing Australia at Eurovision. It's Wednesday, the 22nd of February.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
Matty, how you doing?
Morning, mate. Very well, thank you. Happy hump day.
Yes, halfway through the week. And let's talk about this this major crash that has resulted in the death of a 16-year-old.
Yeah, this 16-year-old boy has been killed in Hamilton Hill. What police tell us is he was on an off-road motorcycle which collided with a Kia Sportage. This happened about 7:30 last night at the intersection of Southwell Crescent and Phoenix Road. The boy suffered critical injuries in this collision and he was taken to Fiona Stanley Hospital where he lay died. So the driver of the Kia was uninjured, police say, and Major Crash Police are conducting an examination of that crash site and appealing for any witnesses to come forward and contact Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000.
Yeah, terribly sad situation. And let's talk at NAPLAN because we've seen some results released today and some surprising schools have featured prominently in the results.
Yeah, how's this? So a public primary school in Perth where 3/4 of the kids come from non-English speaking backgrounds has been named as one of WA's best performing schools based on the National Reading, Writing and Maths Test. So Caledonia Primary School in Canning Vale is among 20 schools in WA to be singled out due to its NAPLAN achievements. And the list, the full list you can see in the West Australian today.
Yeah, wow. Incredible result, really. And certainly is maybe a bit of a wake-up call for some of the parents at predominantly English-speaking schools. Maybe their kids aren't trying hard enough.
Yeah, well, even private schools. Think of some of these schools
paying the big money.
Where parents pay tens of thousands of dollars over the course of a child's school tenure. And here is a public school with 3/4 of its students coming from a non-English-speaking background performing so well.
There's been a police raid in Wundowie, which has netted a huge cache of interesting items.
Yeah, drugs, guns and 4 stolen cars, including a BMW that had been missing for almost 7 years. Can you believe that? They've allegedly been uncovered during a raid at a property in Wundowie. So police, including the heavily armed tactical response group, converged on the property on Olive Road and they allegedly uncovered this cache of illicit items. It's alleged officers found quantities of meth as well as cannabis, ammunition, a homemade crossbow and 4 stolen cars. As I mentioned, that BMW had been reported stolen back in 2016. They actually had Department of Fire and Emergency Services personnel called in after a brown liquid substance was found, which is believed to be dimethyltryptamine, otherwise known as Fantasia, and the drug can have strong hallucinogenic effects. So 2 men have been charged and they're next due to appear in Midland Magistrates Court on February 24.
Yeah, wow. I wonder what happens to the Beamer, because the person it was stolen from, I'm sure, got their insurance payout and has got another car.
Yeah.
We'll see. And Australian security officials say they have removed from the country a major spy network, a hive of spies, they've said, including some members working undercover for years, like something out of a movie, that were trying to steal sensitive information. Delivering his annual threat assessment speech in Canberra last night, ASIO boss Mike Burgess said Australia was facing an unprecedented challenge from espionage and foreign interference. And he said that it feels like hand-to-hand combat, which is a pretty colourful way of describing it. He said the online targeting of Australian defence industry insiders had increased since the AUKUS announcement a year and a half ago, which is not really a big surprise, right, Matty? Like,
no.
We do this deal with the UK and America. We're going to get their nuclear subs and other technology. If you're a country who's thinking that they want some intel on these devices, you're probably not going to get it from America and the UK. Australia probably looks like an easier target in comparison. Burgess also warned of a discernible and concerning uptick in foreign spies targeting Australian reporters. So this is one
Watch
for us
out.
To worry about, online and in person. And he also said that ASIO had uncovered a plot to exploit and potentially recruit senior Australian journalists. Matty, tell me straight, have they got to you?
I don't think so. Not yet.
I'm open to offers.
It all feels like a movie plot, doesn't it? It's kind of scary that it's very real.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they think they're going to get from journalists that they can't just get from reading the newspapers. Yeah. Anyway, and now let's talk about Bali, because there's a big issue with rubbish in the paradise.
Yeah, Ligian Beach is full of plastics at the moment, and you might be going, why is this? Well, during COVID, there weren't many tourists around and the beaches were pristine. Now the tourists have come back and there's a waste facility that's about 20 minutes away. And so this plastic material is washing up on the beach. And on top of that, you have all the tourists who've come back who are just kind of throwing their bottles here, there and everywhere, and it's ending up on the beach. So the advice to tourists from Perth, if they are environmentally conscious or just generally good people, is to use larger water bottles when you're over there, so you're not having so many different bottles, or take your water bottle from Perth and just fill it up at the hotel.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Everyone's too worried about Bali belly, though, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, that's so the reality of it.
That feeds into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the reality, I'm afraid. And this segues nicely into the next story, which is about climate change, because Antarctic sea ice has reached record low levels for the second time in 2 years, with some scientists alarmed that dramatic drops are a signal the climate crisis may now be more clearly influencing this vast, complex, and isolated region. So the last 2 years marked the only time that sea ice levels have dipped below 2 million square kilometres since satellites began monitoring it in 1978. Now, traditionally, the sea ice in Antarctica has been kind of up and down compared to the Arctic. And so in the Arctic, we've seen this gradual decline in sea ice. It's been very easy to measure. In Antarctica, it goes up 1 year, goes down the next year. And so scientists have kind of been reluctant to make any bold statements about overall trends. But the fact that it's had record low levels in the last 2 years is certainly worrying, because while it doesn't directly affect sea levels, because it's already floating on top of the ocean, so if it melts, it's already in the ocean, so there's no problems with sea levels, but it creates a big problem, because if the sea ice goes, it means that the coastal ice sheets and glaciers are exposed to waves and warm ocean waters, making them much more vulnerable to melting and breaking up, which is where the rising sea level issues comes into play, because you're talking about millions of tons worth of water going into the ocean. And of course, you know, an altered Antarctic landscape has a significant impact on wildlife as well, from the microorganisms and algae and krill, which are, of course, feed for the whales and then the whole ecosystem there. So you're talking about something that could potentially have a catastrophic impact on an entire ecosystem. So we'll be watching it pretty closely, and scientists will be really working hard to try and figure out what it all means in the coming months. So, Matty, tell us about the Perth band that's going to be representing Australia at Eurovision this year.
Well, for the first time, a band from Australia will represent us. SBS has announced Perth-based synth metal group Voyager as Australia's pick for the contest, which will be held in the UK at Liverpool Arena in May. The band have thrown their hat in the ring since Australia announced its participation in the contest back in 2015. They came in second at last year's Eurovision Australia Decides pre-competition, leading the public vote with their song Dreamer. This year, the band will take to the stage with their song Promise. So Voyager's lead vocalist, Danny Estrin, says, as a longtime Eurovision fan, this is the pinnacle. Voyager gets to play the greatest show on earth. So watch out for Voyager at Eurovision in May.
I can hear him in the background. Let's have a bit of a listen.
Promise me you'll hold me till I die.
Now, these guys have been around for a while. Like, I remember writing about Voyager years ago as a music journalist.
It's got a bit of a Eurovision vibe, doesn't it? Here we go.
Here we go.
Oh, you can imagine the crowd going off to that. I think...
Yeah, I like it.
I think the key to a Eurovision winner is it has to be quite simple, it has to be catchy, and, you know, it feels like they might have that on board.
Yeah, and metal has done pretty well at Eurovision in the past, even though they're only kind of like a... you know, sort of a symbolic entrance though, right? Like, I don't think they're eligible to actually win.
Well, yeah, Australia can win. Australia can win.
We can win?
Yeah, we can win. We can win.
Wow, that makes sense.
When we started, we were just a showcase performance, but yeah, we can win it.
Oh, yeah, wow.
And then,
good luck to Voyager.
I think what happens is, because the winner then usually gets the rights to host the next one, but then we would have a proxy in Europe. I think that's how it
in
works.
Europe. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, that's not that great.
The Wild West.
Now, a woman's first-generation iPhone just sold at auction for more than $90,000, shattering the previous record for such a device that was around $50,000. But don't think that your old iPhone in your bottom drawer at home is going to be worth anything near that much. So this woman, Maddie, Karen
Green...
what's
so special about Karen's iPhone?
I'll tell you. So Karen had been given the phone back in 2007, but she already had a device on a plan that she couldn't get out of. You remember back in the day when you couldn't break your phone plans? And so she popped this phone in its box on the shelf of her house and then promptly forgot about it for the next 13 years. And so the phone was still in mint condition in its original shrink wrapping. So it was as perfect as it was possible to be, which is why it fetched such a high price. It's a lot of money for an old iPhone, but you can bet this piece of tech history will only go up in value in the years to come. It's actually very collectible amongst tech aficionados.
So does that mean we should just buy like an iPhone 14 now in the shrink wrap and put it on the shelf?
No, unfortunately, probably not, because this was the first iPhone.
First generation,
so it was like, you know, if you imagine the caveman Og who first invented the wheel, if you had that original wheel, that's the one that's worth a lot of money. Like one off your car right now that you just bought from Bob Jane T-Mart, probably not worth the same.
2007, I mean, that's not that long ago,
No. Yeah, I know. Well, good on you, Karen. A big windfall for her. Yeah, and that's news from the West Australian for Wednesday, February 22. And don't forget to subscribe to the West Live on your favourite podcast player. Maddie, I'll talk to you. Well, I'm not going to talk to you tomorrow.
No, you'll have Elle in here tomorrow. And in the meantime, I'll see if someone wants to pay $90,000 for my iPhone SE.
Okay, we'll see how you go.
Cheers, bye.
You've been listening to the West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.